If you live in Michigan, you've undoubtedly had a car whiz by you on the highway at something like 100 miles per hour.
Yeah. Oh!
Probably you've reflected some four-letter words to yourself. There's a good chance that that vehicle was a Dodge Charger. Maybe it was purple or white with a racing stripe down the middle. But it was flashy, somehow bulky and sleek, all at the same time, and fast. You were probably fearful, angry, and in awe of the horsepower. Maybe a combination of those things at once? That's the Charger in a nutshell. It's modern muscle.
You know what the one thing you didn't mention in your intro was? Envy. A lot of people had envy. If they saw you, if you were the person getting dusted by a Challenger or a Charger.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Yesterday, Dodge announced it's discontinuing the Charger and its two-door counterpart, the Challenger model. It's quite the blow for drag racers and muscle car enthusiasts in Michigan. Today, we're going to reflect on the end of this era with Sonari Glinton, a contributor to Planet Money, Slate, and other publications. He is a car guy, and he understands the Charger's appeal.
You know, in the car world, I get to drive a lot of fancy, cool cars, right? And a very clear sign is when the valet comments on your car, right? Because valets drive every car, right? This is a car that valets would envy. So you pull up to a valet stand and people would look at you. And then my favorite example of this is when the Challenger came out and I was living in Ann Arbor. We took my loaner Dodge Charger or Challenger, whichever it was, Dodge Challenger. And at one point we stopped at a stoplight, and this is the summer of Call Me Maybe, the song. And we literally got out of the car dancing in place. And there was about a 45-year-old man like driving next to me. And he shot me daggers like I've never been shot daggers before. He's like, here I am in this minivan and you are driving, singing Call Me Maybe. It's still one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite moments of my time in Michigan, was driving that Challenger. I mean, the problem with this car is that the great thing is very affordable. It is a thing that I can imagine. My barber has the fanciest Charger, the Hellcat, right? So this is within the range. This is a sports car within the range of the working person. And that is one of the things that makes me sad about it going away.
You know, in 2015, I remember you did a piece for NPR about the Charger and how it represented a modern golden era for American muscle cars.
It's an absolute beast of a car, and it sounds insane. Yeah, that's the stuff. Are you feeling it?
Why do I need that?
What do you mean why you need that? That's the whole point of the muscle car. You don't need that, but you have it.
I mean, what is Dodge doing here? Does this mean that that era is over?
It should have been over when they reintroduced this car, right? I don't understand. I never understood the need for 700 horsepower when a Honda can, you know, gets about 160 or something like that, right? I literally was afraid to pull to the back of my driveway. But Dodge was doing this in a way to... It wasn't going to be selling cars, because who was going to buy the Dodge Dart, which was a failure, or other cars? So the philosophy seemed to be put as much horsepower and get the muscle heads onto this car. That was what this reemergence was. This was why other car companies were investing in electric vehicles, and Dodge and the Chrysler brands under FCA at the time were caught short.
So Dodge is not one to miss the opportunity for nostalgia in advance of the thing actually being gone, rolling out seven special edition Chargers and Challengers. Sonari, come on, does anybody need seven special editions of this?
Well, the idea is sort of like, unlike, is to go out with a bang, right? Is to say, you know, we're going to not leave anything left. And this was really a pride for, you know, Ralph Gill, the chief designer there. this was a real badge. And imagine you're a car designer and you get to design the fastest cars on the road. There was a lot of pride behind these vehicles, so not letting them go out with a whimper, but go out with a bang. And interestingly enough, as people who love EVs, you realize that, you know, you can get really fast on these if you put some engineering into it.
Mm-hmm. So there is life after Charger, of course. As the industry moves more toward electric, Stellantis is working on electric muscle cars with a pretty big Dodge rollout, I think, planned for 2024, assuming everything stays on schedule. Sonari, I hardly know what to say. I mean, will donuts and drifts be the same if you've got an engine that's so quiet?
Well, I think, one, now with a lot of the cars that we have, that sound that you hear is usually computer generated anyway.
So what?
Like that loud sound that is in the car. There, you know, I know that in the Jaguar you can press a button so it sounds extra obnoxious. You know what? It really, if you want it to sound a certain way, but the real thing about these cars, I have to say, we had a terrible accident here in Los Angeles. Los Angeles, for instance, has been the highest pedestrian death rate in America. I don't believe that we should be driving cars this fast. And if we are, they should be definitely separate from pedestrians and things like that, right? Also, in a move when every government almost is looking at fuel economy, right? And Stellantis is no longer just, you know, Dodge and Chrysler. It's the fifth largest car company on the globe. It to be spending money on this car that is from the halcyon days of the 60s and 70s, right? But it isn't necessarily a forward-looking car. Right now, nobody in Detroit really is making sedans, right? And I would argue as a Ford baby, that, you know, Detroit has never been really good at cars or hasn't been good at cars in the last 40 years. What it does really well is SUVs and pickup trucks. And I would argue that is where, you know, Stellantis should be focusing on getting EVs into that realm where it sells so many cars. It is behind the other automakers, and it needs to catch up quick. When you look at Hyundai and Kia, like, you know, I see a Hyundai or a Kia and my heart flutters a bit, right? We're in a new world and you have to be competitive.
I don't know if I'm looking at the same Hyundais as you are. I definitely need to get on to this. We have to hit the brakes for just a minute. When we return, pedal to the floor. We'll be right back.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
You know, the other thing that really strikes me about this is, yes, you can find Chargers and Challengers anywhere, but they're kind of a city car that windows down, out on the streets in the summer, bumping Carly Rae Jepsen kind of feel. Hopefully not. And that rumble, yeah, that sound is just part of the soundtrack.
It is. I mean, I feel like, though, I think it's not necessarily a city car, but a highway car. I won't tell you how fast I went from Ann Arbor to Toledo the Challengers that I've borrowed. It is Bo and Luke Duke. It is the 70s. it's Matthew McConaughey in, you know, All Right, All Right, All Right. You know, it is the
Dazed and Confused.
It is so much a part. Yeah, Dazed and Confused. It's so much a part of, I would say, the last gasp of the great American sedans. And to be honest, this car, these cars were always sort of a throwback, right? And since they reemerged. And really what this company needs to be doing is looking for the future. When you have a world in which the F-150 is going to have EVs, you got to be on your game, because EVs are coming, even though we don't necessarily see them in the middle of country with the volumes that we do, say, in West Hollywood.
So EVs are very well known as being able to perform. I mean, they've got some giddy up, 0 to 60 in 3 or 4 seconds. It's kind of almost terrifying how fast some of these new models can accelerate. But the experience is so vastly different than something like the Charger. First of all, it feels like Dodge has been talking a lot about how younger muscle car lovers will love these things. Do you think that that's the right market that they're aiming for, is like a younger car buyer who wants to go fast and wants to go fast for a decent price point?
I am not convinced that the quote younger buyer, let's call them Gen Z, are really gonna really care about the automobile in the way that Gen X and baby boomers did and do, right? The future really is really about mobility, and EVs are 40% less expensive, right? It is where the world is going. You know, it's like I was joking with a reporter friend of mine, Julie Rovner, who has horses and things like that. You know, people miss their horses. You know, like they miss that, but that doesn't mean that we want to be drowning in horse manure in downtown Detroit, right? We have to change. And I would argue, I don't know anyone who has driven an EV and doesn't prefer it. The big fancy car show at Pebble Beach is coming up, right? And you would imagine that this would be where all the diehards who are only into like putting on the road. And I remember talking to the head of the event, and she was like, no. We will be driving EVs. We will be driving EVs and autonomous vehicles, and we should do it sooner, right? It's everyone understands that this is the future. And if you're not putting all your money into an alternative fuel or an alternative vehicle, you really have to be asking, what are you doing?
Yeah, you know, I hate to say it, but I feel like just the money thing is probably, obviously a lot of EVs and hybrids are still priced well out of range for average American consumers, you know, just plain folks getting the car that they need to go to work and shuffle their kids around. But if the price, you know, if the price point does come down, it's so hard once you've been in one of those vehicles to go back to paying, you know, full freight for gas. I totally see it.
Well, when you see, well, I mean, people often just look at the how much it will cost a month or that price and not the overall length of the car. When, you know, gas is, you know, $6 here in Los Angeles and more, right? That savings for the life of the car is great. And there's also, I feel like one of the things that people miss out on is just like the fun. I mean, like the to get a car as quiet on the inside as an electric vehicle, you have to go really high up into the luxury car market. So it's a really good experience. There's not as many repairs. It's easier to drive, and they're fun. It is the fear of the new. If I told you, April, that in order to charge your smartphone, that you have to go twice a week and stand in the rain you wouldn't do that. You'd be like, no, that makes no sense. It makes a lot of sense to charge at home and wake up every morning with a full tank of gas. And like I say, the big companies, China, Europe, where these cars are sold, are saying, no, we're getting rid of the the internal combustion engine relatively soon, so you better show us what you got. And I think that there is going to be a mad rush, and there are well over 100 new EVs coming out, and we're going to hit that price point. And like I say, when you see a really big selling cars, like these, this pickup truck race is really what I'm interested in. Because if you have a company, you don't care where the fuel comes from as long as it's cheaper. And when you get a pickup truck in every congressional district, I think that'll be the game changer when it comes to adoption of the future of electric vehicles.
You know, I think they're doing the Dream Cruise in Detroit this weekend, and I'm thinking about all those cars lined up on Woodward and what we're going to be seeing in the decades to come. It feels like we're pretty early in pretty much all the automakers' fleets, but like, do you see anything out there yet that really looks iconic in the way that the Charger did?
You know, no. Well, I don't feel like there are any iconic cars anymore. They all kind of look the same for a variety of reasons. The silhouettes, you know, are often so the same. You know, you walk into, you walk into a fancy car parking lot and you try to find, the fancy car you got loaned, and they all look exactly the same, right? I think, though, as we move forward, I'm going to make a prediction here. I think that, with cars being the average price of a new car, well over 40-something thousand dollars, I think that we're going to see a point where there's going to be a lot more ride-sharing and those things. Actually, but more importantly, one of the things that is definitely going to happen is the vintage car market is for real. Like I said, Pebble Beach is coming up. And I bet you that the Charger and the Challengers that are in the world, in the vintage world, right, older than 20-something years, will see their values go up as the nostalgia for these cars goes up. Here come the Dodge Boys. We're going to have decades and decades of nostalgia about the great cars of the past while we adopt to the cars that we need for the future. For
a new kind of deal. A new kind of deal, a new kind of car. Charger, the sharpest looking fastback by far. Four bucket seats.
And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside episodes at michiganradio.org. Today's pod was produced by our very own executive producer and car fan, Laura Weber Davis. Other producers on our show are Aaron Allen, Mike Blank, Ronia Cabansag, Rachel Ishikawa, Mercedes Mejia, and April Van Buren. Our theme music is by 14KT, additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. We'll see you out there. Bye-bye.
You can tell they're good guys. They all wear white hats.